Let's go to Galatians 4 tonight. We're going to try to finish up chapter 4 of Galatians, verse 21 through 31. Let's go ahead and read these verses as we get started tonight in Galatians chapter 4, 21 through 31. The title is, Who is Your Mother? And so let's read these verses. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by bondmaid, the other by free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are two covenants, or the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate had many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. We pray that the Holy Spirit would speak tonight through the word of God. Lord, we know that there's something here tonight that we can learn. There's something here that can challenge and encourage us. And Father, that's what we ask, Lord, that you'd just help our hearts to be tender tonight to what you have to say. And Lord, that we would also grow in our understanding of the gospel and of grace, and Lord, that we might be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. We know that there's so much false teaching that's going on today, and Lord, we need to be strong in our faith and to understand what we believe. And so we pray tonight that you would help us and instruct us, but we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you parents remember reading a book to your kids called Are You My Mother? I think some of you might remember that book. I believe I do. It's about a little bird who hatched from his egg while his mother's out getting food, and he's out looking for his mother. As he searches, he learns that a kitten, a hen, a dog, a cow, a boat, a plane, a steam shovel are not his mother. And finally, as you might expect, he discovers his mother is a bird. And, you know, most of us here tonight, we're not confused about who our physical mother is. But what about your spiritual mother? And tonight, that's what we're going to look at. In this passage of Scripture, Paul is addressing the people in the church here, the churches of Galatia. And they thought, or at least they'd been taught by these false preachers, that to keep the law is necessary in being a Christian. They had to keep the law in order to be saved. And the cross of Jesus and faith in Jesus was not enough if they didn't follow the rituals, the rules, and the regulations of the law of Moses. And so Paul is going to show, by means of an allegory, how that the law and grace, they're diametrically opposed to one another. He's going to show the difference between these two systems, law and grace. And we're going to look at this historical account first. I want to kind of just give some background of the historical account before we actually dive into these verses, because what Paul is telling here is actually based on historical facts. But he is going to use this history of the Jewish people, the history of Abraham and his children, to teach a spiritual truth, which he calls a spiritual allegory. And if you go back to Genesis, you don't have to go back tonight, but I'm going to just summarize it. You'll find that God called Abraham. And he was 75 years old when he was called to go to Canaan. God called him on the basis of grace. I mean, we need to keep that in mind. Everything we see in the beginning of Scripture all began with grace. It didn't start with the law. It started with grace. Abraham's called, and God promises to bless him, to make him a great nation. In chapter 12 of Genesis, both Abraham and Sarah wanted children, but she was barren. You know, that's something that required faith on their part, because God promised, you're going to be a great nation, but yet she was barren. And God waited until they were as good as dead. That's how Paul put it in Romans 4. As good as dead. Meaning that they were so far beyond childbearing years when God actually gave Sarah a son. But before that ever took place, Sarah was impatient. She was getting very impatient about this promised son, and so she suggests to Abraham to take her handmaid Hagar in order to have a son by her. And I want to just say that that was a legal thing to do in that day and time. And so, but in spite of that, it was not the will of God. It was not what God, that was not the means God was going to use to give them a son. But because of their unbelief and their impatience, we know that Ishmael was born. Now we're going to read about him in these verses. We did read about him. Ishmael, he was the son of this bondwoman, Hagar. Now, at the age of 99, God speaks to Abraham again and promises a son. Can you imagine this? I mean, 99 years old. But I want you to listen to what, and this is in chapter 17, verse 17 of Genesis. It says, "Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed." I mean, I imagine I would have probably done the same thing. Would have laughed. "And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear?" And later we find that God, he also affirmed his promise to Sarah as well. And so this son is born to them when Abraham's 100 years old and his wife is 90 years old. And God told Abraham to name him Isaac. Do you know what Isaac means? Laughter, because they laughed about it. And but there's a problem. Isaac's born. He's the promised son. It was a supernatural thing. We're going to talk about that in a minute. It was a supernatural thing. I mean, they were as good as dead. They were beyond the years of bearing, but yet God did a miracle. Isaac was the son of promise, as we read in this passage. But the problem is Ishmael, he's a 14-year-old boy. He had been his father's only son. Now he has a rival. Now there's this problem in the family. Now there's a dispute going on in the family. And the only solution was to cast out the bondwoman and her son. And that's what took place. Let me catch up with my slides here. I'm getting behind. So Paul introduces an allegory. This is part of your introduction. Related to two mothers and their sons. And these two mothers and sons represent two spiritual realities. And that's what we are going to be looking at tonight. The contrast these two spiritual realities. And the first thing I want to look at is the two mothers. We want to look at these two mothers that Paul writes about. The one that's Sarah, the free woman, and Hagar, the bondwoman. Now, these two women, Hagar and Sarah, represent two covenants. That's what Paul says in verse 24. These, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendered the bondage, which is Hagar. And so these represent the covenant of the law and the covenant of grace. Paul's going to use these two women, these two mothers, to contrast these two things. He's going to use it to contrast law and grace. And it's really interesting as we're going to get into this. It's going to be really interesting how this really illustrates these two covenants. You know, Sarah was Abraham's wife. I think we all understand that. Hagar was Sarah's handmaid. As far as God's dealings with man are concerned, he begins with grace. You know, we can go back to Eden and see how God provided for Adam and Eve by grace. Even after they sinned, God's grace provided a covering for them, coats of skin. He provided a way for them to be forgiven of their sin, their sins to be covered. And he didn't give them laws to obey in order as a way of redemption, but he promised them in Genesis 3:15 a redeemer. So I want you to understand that truth. Now, when God called Abraham, as I said, it was based on grace, not the law. Many people think or falsely believe that God began with a covenant of works, and that when that failed, he came up with another plan, which was grace. But that's not the truth at all. The truth is, he started with grace. You know, Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Revelation that he is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God had it all planned out before creation. There was no afterthought. Christ is not an afterthought. He was part of God's plan. And so I want you to understand that Hagar, like the law, was added. Remember back in chapter 3, verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law, it was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Hagar, she performed a function temporarily. You know, because like I said, Sarah was Abraham's wife. Hagar came in later. And then she was taken away, just like the law was taken away when the promised son came. Do you see that analogy? I mean, Paul's trying to help us to see this analogy here that Hagar, she was just added later to something temporary, then moved off the scene, just like the law served a function, then it was taken away when the promise came. Hagar was never intended to be Abraham's wife. Only a slave or a handmaid to Sarah. The law was never intended for salvation, only to be a handmaid to grace. You see, the law brought us to the Savior. The law, we learned in chapter 3, is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. You know, we would never had come to Christ had it not been for the law. I mean, the law convicting us of our sin. The law pointing out our need of the Savior and leading us to Christ. Sarah was a free woman. Hagar was the bondwoman. Hagar was never a free woman, and Sarah was never a slave. And so, like Hagar, I want you to think about this. The law was given as a servant. Because as we go back in chapter 3, verse 9, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed shall come. So the law was a servant to serve, just like Hagar was a servant. You know, the law, as we learned, it's like a mirror. It reveals our sin, points out our sin. It's also like a monitor that controls man, like that schoolmaster would, and then leads him to Christ. It was never, listen to this, the law was never intended to be a mother. Now, I'm talking in terms of this allegory that Paul's talking about. Never intended to be a mother. The law leads to bondage. Grace leads to liberty. If the law is your mother, then you're a bond slave. A religion that commands you to do what you cannot do perfectly is bondage. The child of promise, we're not under the law, we're under grace. And so you think about Sarah, she gave birth to a child of promise, but Hagar, a child after the flesh. Let's look in verse 23 in chapter 4. It says, But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. You know, in Genesis chapter 16, verse 12, Ishmael is said to be a wild man. That was one of the descriptions of Ishmael. He was a wild man. He is likened to the flesh, which the law cannot change. You know, there's a saying, the old nature knows no law. And the new nature needs no law. You ought to memorize that. The old nature knows no law, and the new nature needs no law. You know, those that are lost, those without Christ, you know, the flesh cannot, please God, the flesh cannot keep the law. We're like Ishmael, that wild man. But the new nature, when we get saved, needs no law. Think about that, because we're changed from inside out. Now we're in Christ. We serve Christ. We follow the law of Christ. You know, Ishmael is conceived in a natural way. I want you to think about this comparison here. He was conceived in a natural way, but he was the product of human scheming and self-reliance. It was because of Abraham and Sarah's unbelief and impatience that Ishmael was born. Instead of trusting God's promise, instead of trusting God's power, they relied on their own ability to get a son. But in contrast, Isaac, he was a son of promise. It says here in verse 23, he was by promise. His birth, according to Romans 4, was supernatural. I mean, they were already as dead. Sarah's womb was dead. But she had a son. And in her old age, God did a supernatural miracle. And so we can see the difference here between these two mothers, and that they illustrate law and grace, these two covenants. And the covenant of law, of course, is self-reliance, relying on your flesh to earn favor with God, whereas grace relies on God and His promise. You know, that's the difference. You know, every false gospel out there today is preaching works. Preaching, you have to do something. You have to rely on yourself. You have to Rely on your works. They may point you back to the law, or they may point you to some other things, but it comes down to relying on yourself to earn your way to heaven. But the true gospel of grace, the Bible teaches, is by faith alone. It's relying on God and His promise. And that's what these two mothers and two sons illustrate. And we're going to come to the second one, the two sons. And Ishmael and Isaac, they illustrate two births. A physical birth and the spiritual birth. I want to now look at the analogy between these two sons. You know, Ishmael, he's older than Isaac. He was 14 years old when Isaac was born. And keeping in the allegory, we're born under the law as sinners. And it's only when we come to grace that we become children of promise. You know, outwardly, you know, you look at these two sons. If you look at these two sons of Abraham, they don't, outwardly, there's no difference. They're both circumcised. But what's the distinction? According to this passage in Paul's teaching, in verse 23, one was born after the flesh, one was born by promise. In fact, in verse 29, it says he was born after the Spirit. Look at verse 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. So I want you to notice that it says Isaac was born after the Spirit. And again, it was a supernatural birth, whereas Ishmael's birth was a natural birth, as we've already talked about. And let me just say this, you cannot enter God's family by the natural birth. Flesh and blood, the Bible says, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But you must enter by spiritual birth. What Jesus say in John 3, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. You must be born from above. It must be a supernatural birth. You know, the Jews that would have been reading this, you know, they thought that they were children of God because they were descendants of Abraham, physical descendants. That they thought by their natural birth, because they're children of Abraham by birth, that they're children of God. That's what they believed. And so I'm sure when Paul was teaching this, this was really offending to them. It really went against what they believed. Because these Judaizers, like the Pharisees, they were very, very proud of their heritage. And there's some irony in what Paul is sharing here, because basically Paul is telling these sons of Abraham, I'm talking about these physical descendants of Abraham, he is telling them this: your mother is Hagar, not Sarah. Based on what they were believing and teaching. Now, that would have been very, very offensive to a Jew to call him an Ishmaelite, to be a descendant of Ishmael, a descendant of Hagar. You know, Ishmael, if you look in history and you look in the scripture, he was the father of the Canaanites and all those Palestinian people that fought against the Jews even to this day. And so can you imagine, spiritually he's speaking, of course, spiritually he's saying, you know, your mother is not Sarah, your mother is Hagar. What he's stressing here is that the true children of Abraham and Sarah are not those with Jewish blood flowing in their veins, but those who trust in the promises of God. You know, today, we could make an application. You know, you're not a Christian just because you're born in a Christian family. You're not a Christian just because you are raised in a Christian family and raised in church. You have to be born again. You have to experience a spiritual birth. You know, Ishmael, it says he mocked Isaac in Genesis 21:9. But here in Galatians 4:29, it says, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him. He persecuted Isaac. And you know, Paul says, even so it is now. Even so it is now. You know, the unbeliever will persecute the true believer. You know, this has been true throughout history. If you look at history, you see just an example of this would be the Roman church throughout all those years of the Dark Ages. Remember when Brother Locke was here last year teaching on Baptist history and so on, but you know, during that time, the Catholic Church, they were teaching law salvation. They were teaching work salvation. And those that were preaching the gospel of grace were persecuted. And it's been true throughout history, even today. Those that preach false gospels will persecute the true children of God. Those that mock the doctrine of salvation by grace plus nothing, they are the children of Hagar. I want you to look at the third thing, two destinies. You know, there are two destinies Paul is showing from this allegory. The bondwoman in verse 30 is cast out and her son. And it says, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. They cannot be an heir of God. They receive no spiritual inheritance. Now, we know in Genesis that when Abraham sent out Hagar and Ishmael, that he didn't send them out empty-handed. He sent them out with many things, many blessings, and he had presence. And you know, later, he became very rich in the world, really. He became a father of many nations, just like his father did. But he received no spiritual inheritance. Isaac got this spiritual inheritance. You know, I want you to think about the application of that today, because, you know, the legalists, those that are believing in work salvation, they may get many rewards today. They might be respected and honored by people in society, but they have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus spoke of them in Matthew 7:22. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name, in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? The Lord will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You know, these are, we have these kind of people today. It may not be the Judaizers that were in Paul's day, but we have people today. You know, was I not baptized, Lord? Did I not keep the Lord's Supper? Did I not give my tithes? Was I not faithful to church? If you're relying on those things for salvation, you're a child of Hagar. You have no spiritual inheritance. You have to experience that spiritual birth. You have to be born again. You know, we see Ishmael was sent away without the inheritance. Who is your mother tonight? You know, that's the question we start out with. Who is your mother? Is it Sarah or is it Hagar? You know, it is a very important question. I realize on Wednesday night we've got mostly faithful church members that have been saved for many years, but yet it is still a good question for us to ask ourselves. Are we trusting Christ alone? Or do we think, well, part of what I do adds to my salvation? You know, some people believe that. I mean, even in Baptist churches that would believe, they think, well, I've got to be faithful. I've got to do all these things in order to be saved. It's a good thought. But one thing, we need to be grounded in this truth that grace is totally opposite of law legalism. Salvation is by grace alone, by faith in Christ alone. It's like that quote I said, the old nature knows no law and the new nature needs no law. I think that was the thought for the night. I mean, for us to spend some time meditating on that thought. It's not that where Paul is teaching that we as Christians are to be lawless. He's not teaching that. He's not teaching that we just go out and live however we want. He's not teaching that at all. When we get to chapter 5 next week, Lord willing, we're going to see how it all puts into play, how grace works in us and through us. Grace, it changes us. We're a new creature, and we have the Spirit of the living God in us. And because of that internal presence of the Holy Spirit, because of that internal new nature that we have in Christ, that's what we mean by needing no law. It means you don't have to have something outside there prodding you on when you have Christ inside you prodding you from inside. Amen. We have Christ in us. We serve. Why do we come to church? Is it because we're trying to get brownie points with God, or is it because we love Christ? Because we want to obey Christ? Because we want to serve Christ, because we want to serve the brethren and fellowship with God's people. You know, it does make a difference what you believe. It does make a difference. It makes an eternal difference. Well, let's stand and we're going to dismiss in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for your word and Lord, we know some passages here in the Scripture, it's more teaching and more instruction and doctrine. And Lord, we thank you for the doctrine of grace. Lord, where would we be tonight without grace? Lord, if it depended on our works, none of us would be able to have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Lord, we're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, dying for our sins, providing for us eternal life. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit that you've given to live inside of us, to work in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Lord, we praise you for that. Lord, we know that if we did not have that spiritual birth, Lord, we would not have the transformation. We would not have the desire in our hearts to serve Christ with a pure heart. And Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, that we would consider this question, who is our mother? Lord, if we are not sure about our salvation, that we'd make sure tonight before it's too late. And Lord, if we do know, if we have that assurance tonight, Lord, that we would just be strong in our faith, and Lord, that we would, you would help us to continue to study this doctrine, that we can be able to know when false teaching comes our way, that we can be strong in the faith. And Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. And we pray that you would bless each one here as we leave this place. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, ladies, meet right over here, Miss Kathy.